Good morning to all of you, and it's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Glad all of you could make it. Several persons mentioned we pulled into the parking lot this morning before workout and thought we might have been in the wrong place. It was pretty empty. But it's a good thing. It's a new day. And God has a message for us this morning. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've brought us this morning, and we know nothing with you happens by accident or chance. You have a purpose for us being here today, Lord, and I pray your purposes will be accomplished. I pray our hearts may be prepared for what you have for us today, and that your name may be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Rod, can you notch it up a little bit? Want to make sure nobody falls asleep. Lord, our helper. I don't know how many of you have been closely following the political scene, the primaries and all the debates, but the more you watch and listen, the more we are convinced, I am convinced, that we really need some help from God. Amen? Amen. Yeah, we're desperately in need of help. Just saying, I won't elaborate on that anymore. Our main text today is Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter number 121, the 121st Psalm, and I think we might have it up. But we hear a lot of stuff today in the world in which we live about, you know, self-help, how we can help ourselves, how we can pull ourselves up our own bootstraps, how, you know, we can do all things by ourselves. We can find ourselves. You look at books, whole libraries, the internet, filled with advice. People telling us and suggesting ways that we can improve our health, that we can improve our wealth or increase our wealth, hopefully. Improve ourselves in our jobs, in our relationships. How we can live longer and healthier and happier and more prosperous lives. How we can improve our work skills. How we can improve our strength, our sports skills. How we can improve our size, hopefully get a little smaller, not bigger. How we can improve the outlook for our future. That's what the politicians are trying to tell us, right? A brighter, rosier future. They tell us how we can even help ourselves to improve our spiritual state. I mentioned only half jokingly about the series on CNN about finding Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I won't look to CNN if I was seeking Jesus. Amen? So we hear all this stuff. You can do it. It's within you. You just got to look within. You got the inner strength. And, you know, if you just try hard enough, you can do it. Helping ourselves is the natural tendency of mankind. And before you start judging us, it's not only in this generation that man looks first to help himself. It's been around for a long time, since we were created. We have a drive to fix things and help ourselves. And sometimes we dare even try to help God. You know, there was a man called Abraham that, you know, the father of our faith, as the Bible refers to him in some places. And in the 15th chapter of Genesis, we won't go there, but God had promised Abraham that he was going to do certain things in his life. And the scripture tells us that Abraham believed God. Right? He believed God. He had trust. He had faith that God was able to do what he had promised. But somewhere, and I'm not going to blame his wife, But somewhere his wife persuaded him that, you know, even though God promised this thing, but we don't see it happening. So suppose we try, you know, God gave us the intellect to help ourselves. So she came up with this brilliant idea, it seemed, to bring her maid. And, well, the child God gave you, he may have intended to do it this way. So brought her maid, and Abraham slept with the maid, and Ishmael was born, and we know the story from there. All the trouble that has ensued over the generations. So there's nothing good can come out of us trying to help God. So let's not even try. However, in spite of our best efforts to help ourselves, we sometimes come to the point, and a lot of us do it reluctantly, when we've tried everything else and constantly come up with failure, that we kind of admit, and again, reluctantly, and I think the men are more reluctant to admit than the women, that we don't have all the answers and we need help from somebody bigger than ourselves. And nothing sometimes we try seems to be working. Our best efforts, our best intentions are not enough. The harder we try, the worse the condition becomes. And there's a song that Isaac Hayes sang many years ago and said something like being in quicksand, the more you wiggle, the deeper you sink. And sometimes we sink down to our neck before, with our last breath, we cry out to God. But being the God that he is, he's always there waiting. And we're going to look at a psalm of David tonight. And David is one of the most interesting characters in the Bible. A lot of times we look at, we read the Bible and say that God chose the best people. You know, he can't possibly relate to us today because he had all these perfect people. Well, no. If you look at David, you know right away that he was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But still he's called, what, a man after God's own heart. So a lot of us who are less than perfect can relate to David. If you're perfect in here, good for you. I applaud. But I would venture to say most of us here are not perfect. And we readily identify with David in all his struggles, all his failures. But he knew where to turn when the going got rough. Amen? So Psalm chapter number 121, reading first from the NIV, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Same passage from the New Century Version. I look up to the hills, but where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you be defeated. He who guards you never sleeps. He who guards Israel never rests or sleeps. The Lord guards you. The Lord is the shade that protects you from the sun. The sun cannot hurt you during the day, and the moon cannot hurt you at night. The Lord will protect you from all dangers. He will guard your life. The Lord will guard you as you come and go, both now and forever. The Message Bible. I look up to the mountains, Does my strength come from mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains. I like that. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, shielding you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. In fact, he guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. That's the God we serve. New Living Translation. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. So we see from this short passage that three things that we're going to see and we're going to look at this morning. Number one, God is our helper. And we get this from verses 1 and 2. In the Message Bible, I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God who made heaven and earth and the mountains. I've read this passage of Scripture a lot of times, but I'd always failed to see that verse, the second clause in verse 1, was actually a question. I'd always read it to say I would look up to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I'd always read it that way. And then I looked at these other versions and no, we look up to the mountains or we look up to the hills, whatever your translation says, but our help does not come from the mountains. Our help comes from who? The Lord. Because guess what? He made the mountains. And that's what Paul said in his letter to the Romans. He said that we've come to the place now that we've started worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. Too often now we look for help at things made with hands, at things made by man, at things that are perishable, at things that will not stand the test of time. But David is saying, no, my strength does not come from the mountains. My strength comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth, and even of the mountains that we see in the Message Bible. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 14 and verse 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And I like the word here, confidence. Because you see, when you know the God that you serve, and you know that he is able, in fact, he is more than able to accomplish and do that which he has promised in his word, then you can say with confidence, without wavering, without the shadow of a doubt, that God is my helper. The Lord alone is able. When everyone else fails, he's still there. Amen. When all my friends and family abandon me, he's still by my side. What can mere mortals do to me? That should give us some confidence this morning. That should give us a renewed hope this morning. That no matter how bad things may seem around us, we can have confidence in the fact that the God we serve is able. And even more than that, he's willing to see us through our darkest times. Webster's dictionary defines help as to give assistance or support to make more pleasant or bearable, to be of use to further the advancement of, to benefit, to promote, to change for the better, to keep from occurring, to restrain from doing something. In all these definitions, we see our God at work in our lives. He wants to give us assistance. He wants to give us support. He wants to make our life more pleasant and bearable as we walk in his path of righteousness for his name's sake. It's only when we veer away from his purposes and veer away from his path that we put ourselves in the place where things become more difficult for us. This does not mean that when we walk in his path, we won't have problems. No, in fact, he's told us that those that live righteously will suffer persecution. But what we know is that once we walk in his purposes, he's there by our side. When we go through the fire, he will be through the fire with us. When we go through the flood, it will not overtake us, because he will be right there with us every step of the way. He wants to be of use to us because he's a God that loves us more than we love ourselves. He wants to change us for the better. And not for the better according to our finite minds. Because our conception of better may not jive or fit in with God's perception of what is better for us. And thank God our God knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. So sometimes when we think we got it all figured out, we got our lives all planned out, and then we get God involved, and he says, no, you got to go back to the drawing boards. My way is not your way. My plans are not your plans. So he wants to make us better, better according to his infinite wisdom, according to his unfathomable knowledge. Not what we think is better. Amen? To keep from occurring. He takes stuff out of our way that we don't even know. We never realize it. Because he's always there watching over us. Another helper definition, I like to serve with food or drink, especially as a meal. He provides our needs. Right? David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Yes, sometimes we think we're lacking, where that's not the case. I always chuckle when I see the statistics on the official poverty numbers in the United States. Those will be considered rich in any other part of the world. It's all a matter of perspective. But God provides all our needs. And another, the last definition is to appropriate something. He has stored up treasures in heaven. But we don't need to wait to get to heaven to start enjoying his treasures, right? He's blessed us right here on earth where we are, going through this journey together. So God is our helper. He's always there. We look up, the psalmist said, I look up to the mountains. My help doesn't come from there. My help comes from God. So everywhere we look, David also said, where can I go to hide to escape your presence? Nowhere. We look up, he's there. We look down, he's there. We look all around us, he's present. Psalmist also said he's a very present help in time of trouble. He's always on time. His time, not our time. Amen? His time, he's always on time. So everywhere around us, he's there. There's an illustration that I want to give. In a water safety course, one of the cardinal rules is never to swim out to a drowning person and try to help him. Could be her too. I'll just say him. Apologize. As long as he is thrashing around. To do so is basically to commit suicide. Why? As long as the drowning man thinks he can still help himself, he is very dangerous to anyone who tries to help him because he's fighting for dear life. The reason why is he has the tendency to grab onto the one trying to help him, which then results in both of them going underwater in the process. We have a lot of cases about people going to rescue somebody and both of them end up drowning. The correct way to rescue someone who is drowning is to stay far away enough where he cannot grab you. You know, don't be so far that you can't get to him when he quits thrashing. Then you wait. When he finally gives up and quits thrashing around, you make your move. At that point, the drowning man is helpless and won't work against you. Instead, he'll let you help him. It's the same way, the same principle applies to our relationship with our God. As long as we think within ourselves that we can solve it, that we can help ourselves, that we can fix things, we don't turn to him. And being the good God that he is, he wouldn't meddle with us. He'll just wait till we quit thrashing around, right? He's right there, but he won't bother us till we quit thrashing around. Because until we realize that we don't have it figured out and that we have to depend on him, he'll just be there waiting for that point. And once we quit trying on our own and look up to him, he will help us. Because by then, we're desperate enough to be looking up to him for help. Have you given up ownership of your life to the Holy Spirit who wants to live within you? Until you do, you can't experience the true joy and power that comes from having him living inside of us. Point number one, God is our helper. Point number two, God is our keeper. God is our keeper. Verses 3-5, and I read from the New Century Version. He will not let you be defeated. He who guards you never sleeps. He who guards Israel never rests or sleeps. The Lord guards you. The Lord is the shade that protects you from the sun. The Hebrew word that's used here is shamar. Forgive me if I'm not pronouncing it right. Which means to keep watch, preserve, to guard, to care for, to protect, restrain, build a hedge around or about, and pay attention to. This word is used many times throughout the Bible. And depending on where it is, it means one of these words that we just looked at. Webster's dictionary defines keeper as protector, guardian, warden, or custodian. God keeps us and protects us from evil and the evil one, who constantly seeks to destroy us and destroy our relationship with our God. God will not let us lose our foothold or our focus if we depend on Him and look up to Him as our keeper and our protector and our sustainer. He is our solid foundation. The scripture says that He does not rest or sleep. He is unmovable. He is totally reliable. He is unshakable. He knows everything that we go through. His power is infinite. There is nothing too hard for Him. He's steadfast and He's sure. You know, all this translation I read said He never sleeps, but the one we just read in the New Century said He never even rests. He never dozes off to be awakened again. He's always vigilant, working on our behalf. And that's comforting to know. And that's why the Bible uses the illustration of Jesus to His church, of the shepherd and the sheep. You see, the sheep isn't the most brilliant of animals. And it's no insult that God compares us to sheep, because we're not the most brilliant of people. I don't want to bust anyone's bubble, but we're not. If we were, we would readily run to Him and stop resisting Him and trying to figure things out on ourselves when He's got it all figured out. But the life of the sheep is literally dependent on the vigilance of the shepherd. Because they can't defend themselves. They're practically defenseless against predators. They don't know, have a good sense of direction. The shepherd basically has to show them where the food is, where the water is, protect them, keep them from harm and danger. And that's the same way God wants to be with us. But you see, the sheep is wholly and totally submissive to the leading of the shepherd. And every now and then when they try to go off track, He has a little staff. Bring it around the neck and bring them back in. Sometimes when God, and He gently nudges us, it feels more painful to us. But it's just a gentle nudge from Him. You're straying a little too far. There's danger out there. Come back in where there's safety in the fold, where my provision is already made for you, where my arms are around you. The hedge is around you. Don't get outside. Amen. Larry talked about the circle this morning and someone was outside. No, we don't want to be outside. There's comfort. There's strength. There's sustenance. There's safety in God's keeping. And it's only when we veer outside that we face many, many more dangers than we should. And He brings us back gently. God is always there for us. He provides us our shade in the unbearable deserts of life. He's always there, watching over us, keeping us. Point number three, we talk about God being our helper, God being our keeper. Point number three, God is our preserver, our helper, our keeper, and our preserver. Verses 7 and 8 from the Message Bible. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. Yep, I gave you the wrong one. It's not your fault. It should be verse 18. Sorry about that. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So God is our preserver. He will preserve us for what? For his purposes, for his heavenly kingdom. Because he loves us so much. Because we're bought with a price. Because he paid the ultimate sacrifice to redeem us from eternal separation from him. That's why he wants to do nothing more than preserve us. Yes, sometimes we think we deserve it, but really we don't. What we deserve is death, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Webster defines preserve as to keep safe from injury, harm, or destruction, to keep alive, intact, or free from decay, to keep or save from decomposition, to keep and reserve for personal or special use. Amen? That's God at work in our lives. He will preserve us and keep us from evil and the evil one. You see, we can't see the hedge that he's built around us. We can't see or fathom all the things that's happening behind the scenes that God is doing on our behalf to keep stuff out of our path, to keep the traps that the enemy constantly puts before us out of our paths. Sometimes we just think it's coincidence, or we just think, gee, I was lucky I didn't go down that path. But no, it's God working to preserve us for what? For his heavenly kingdom, for his divine purposes. Amen. He will preserve us for himself no matter who we are. The Bible said God is not a respecter of persons. No matter where we are, there is nothing that can separate us from his love. No matter where we are in our standing, as long as we realize that he's the only one that's able and we turn to him, he's there waiting, willing, and able to see us through. God wants us to put our total and complete confidence in him and at the same time trust in his ability to care for us. You see, we have to have confidence because otherwise we're still trying to do it ourselves. He will not impose or force himself upon us. And I know it's hard for us to let go. Because we want to be in control of our lives, right? We want to be in control of our destiny. We want to think that we have it all figured out. But God wants us to yield control to him. He wants us to yield control. I think it's Pastor Jim who mentioned one time the bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot. How dumb is that? If God is only your co-pilot, then you're on your own, buddy. Because he doesn't want to be a co-pilot. He wants to be the pilot. And he doesn't want us as co-pilots either. Amen? He just wants us as a passenger trusting our journey to his hands. Hallelujah. So will we let him help us? Will we quit trying this morning to thrash about in the sea of life? To flail and despair when we have a God who's waiting and ready and able to help us? Will we let him keep us? Keep us safe from the attacks of the enemy. Keep us on the path that he's charted for us, that leads us to accomplishing his purpose for our lives, that leads us to meeting with him one of these days and being with him forever in his heavenly kingdom. Will we allow him to keep us? Will we allow him to preserve us this morning? To live within that hedge that he's built around us to keep us from the attack of the predators, because they're all around us. He can see them even when we can't. We have to yield, brethren. We have to surrender control to him, because then, and only then, will he step in and take the reins. He won't yank them from our hands forcefully. I wish he would, but he will not. We have to surrender and yield to him. Would the praise team come up, please? Would you stand with me, please? As the praise team gets situated, David was a very interesting character. And another of his, he wrote, you know, a big portion of the Psalms. And there's a prayer that I came across from, based upon the 23rd Psalm, that I would like us to repeat this morning. So please repeat after me. Because you are my shepherd, I commit my needs to you. Provide green pastures for me to lie in. Lead me beside still waters. Restore my soul when I am empty. Lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Be with me in danger when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Deliver me from evil and protect me with your rod and staff. Prepare a table to feed me so my enemies can see your provision. Anoint me with oil of your healing. And let me drink from the full cup of your provision. Surely your goodness and mercy will always follow me, and I will live with you forever. Amen. That cares so much for us. You are our helper, you are our keeper, you are our provider, you are our battle axe, you are our shelter in the time of storm. Oh Lord, we just yield to you this morning. We give up fighting and thrashing and striving to do it in our own strength and in our own wisdom. Our wisdom is infinitesimal. Your wisdom is without boundaries. Our strength is nothing. Your strength is unfathomable. And Lord, we just yield to you. We yield to your direction. We yield to your protection. We yield to your provision. We yield, Lord, to your keeping and your help this morning. Help us through the storms of life. Help us this morning with sickness, Lord. Oh, we can't figure out why we go through all these afflictions, Lord. But your word says suffering only endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Oh, bring some joy, Lord, where there's been nothing but darkness, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, touch someone this morning and bring healing. Bring restoration, Lord, where there's been broken relationships. Oh, where there's hardship in whatever way, shape, or form, Lord. Open the windows of heaven this morning and pour out your blessing and your provision, Father. Because I know you want to bless your people. I know you like nothing better than to see your people rejoice in your provision, Lord. Oh, help us to get to the point where we get desperate enough to give control to you, Lord. And we just thank you this morning. Thank you for your presence in our midst this morning. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us till we meet again. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.